Amen. Thank you so much, Liang and Lisa, for leading us in those wonderful songs today. We're so glad to be here a little bit later in the morning, but we're here. And it's so good that all of you have rejoined. And I just want to speak a word to the children at this time and read a couple of verses from the book of Revelation to you. And it is in the third chapter. And Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." There was a child who was converted and was saved by the Lord Jesus. And when they became a Christian, they said the following about this kind of a verse. "I heard a knock at the door, and I saw it was Jesus, and I asked him to come in, and he did. I heard another knock, and I said, 'Jesus, you go to the door,' and he did, and Satan was there. And when he saw Jesus, he said, 'Oh, I've made a mistake. I'm at the wrong place.'" I think that's great, you know, to think that a lot of times we think, you know, like we're going to go to the door, and if we see Satan ourselves, what are we going to do? We might be tempted to follow him and forget about Jesus. And so this child has given us a wonderful solution for that when there's a knock on the door and temptation comes our way and Satan is there. We say, "Jesus, would you go and get that?" And when Jesus is there, then Satan has no power over us at all. And so we want to claim that today and that verse and see that in a new light today in the eyes of a child. And so children, whenever you are faced with temptation in your life and you hear the knock on your heart and something is tempting you again so that you would go against what God wants you to do, then send Jesus to that door and say, "Jesus, you go before me and answer that door so that I can stay and remain in you." Let's keep that thought in mind as we go into prayer today, that we want to make Jesus first in our lives and that we want to seek him and we don't want any more to do with the devil's work and the things of the devil because they have no power over us through the name of Jesus. Let's pray, brothers and sisters, the corporate prayer together today and go before our God as a community of Christ. Dear Father in heaven, we pray for strength during this time of COVID-19 virus that we would care for our souls. Help us to fear not those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather the one who is able to kill both soul and body in hell. Help us to take this time of preparation that we're living in now to assess our lives, who we live for, and what is most important to us. Help us to use the time given to use for your kingdom, helping those in need and living wisely for your glory. Help us not to say today or tomorrow we will do this or that. Rather, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. Lord, help us not to return to the way we were, but as you want us to be now. Help us to keep ourselves from idols. Lord, we pray today for those who are suffering in the world. We pray, Father, for those who are poor, that don't have enough to eat, that don't have clothing, that don't have a roof over their heads, that are in great pain and suffering from sickness or illness. We pray, Father, for those who are orphans in the world, that don't have parents to care for them and they feel unloved. We pray, Father, for the prisoners spending time in prison, Father, that we would think of them as well and know that we are to care for them. And we pray, Father, that you would lift their spirits where they are today and know that you are with them. And we pray that you would open our eyes to the needs around us, to those perhaps that we haven't thought about because we are busy in our own lives. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help those who are in need to be helped through the hands of your disciples. We, your disciples, want to do that. So use us for your glory. We pray, Father, for those who are serving and sacrificing their lives for the sake of others and putting themselves in harm's way, Lord, that they will be safe in your hands and that you will protect them from harm as they serve others. And Father, we pray for our leaders. We pray, Father, for the leaders of this nation we live in. We pray, Father, for the Senate and for the House of Representatives. We pray, Father, for the governor of our state, New Jersey. And we pray, Father, for all the Congress people and the other public officials like the mayors who are working hard to help those in need and to give guidance during this difficult time. Father, we pray for our church that you will be with the elderly and watch over them as they are spending more and more time alone. Father, we pray that you will help them in this time and that you will help us to reach out to them and show our love to them. We pray, Father, for our youth and for our children. We pray, Father, for the college students during this time, especially as this would be the end of the school year. We pray, Father, that you will fill them with a sense of security and that you would remove any fear or any sense of anxiety from them, Father, so that they would know the peace of Jesus Christ in them. We pray, Father, for teachers who are using new methods of teaching and are struggling to adjust to this new format. We pray, Father, for those who are out of work, that have lost their jobs as a result of this entire occurrence of the coronavirus and the effects of it, Lord. We pray for your peace on them and for your provision. Father, we pray for our church people as we grow together during this time. And we thank you for all things. And we thank you for what happened this morning, because we're not of the kind, Lord, who give thanks only when things go right, but we give thanks in all circumstances because you have taught us to do that. Because we know, Lord, when we are thankful in our hearts, that we remain in you. And so help us to remain in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, so that we will not break off and wither, but that we will continue to grow strong. And Lord, that we will be strong through your might and not our own. We pray, Father, for those who are searching for meaning in these times, that you would become what they are searching for, that they would find you during this time, Father, and know what true life is all about. We pray, Father, for parents and for families as we are spending more and more time together. We pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to come and overwhelm us with understanding and patience and love. We pray, Father, that there would be no unkind thoughts and no unkind words. There would be only purity of words and thoughts, so that, Lord, we will remain in the vine that is Jesus Christ. And Father, as we go into your word today, we pray that you'll speak to us, and we're eager to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, because you are our God. And you know exactly what we need. And we know when we open your word that we can receive words of love. Lord, you seek first to love us. And so let us open our hearts as we go into the word of God and hear your word, that we will receive your love and that we will understand exactly what it is that you want to say to us. Thank you, Father, for all of the people in our church, especially those today who are working so hard and have now brought us to this point with preparation for worship so that we can meet together now. Bless them. Continue to use us, Lord, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn to God's word. The scripture reading today is found in Exodus 32, 1-8, and then 1 John 5, 21. If you want to open your Bibles, and you can turn to that, and we'll read together from those verses there. Exodus 32, 1-8. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, Go down, for your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. 1 John 5:21 says, Little children, keep yourselves from idols. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Today's sermon is called How to Prepare Ourselves Spiritually for the Reopening. I want to say, everyone, just at the beginning here, just because I'm preaching on the subject of the reopening does not mean that we have reached that point. I want to make sure that everybody understands that we are in preparation for a reopening, which would mean that we could meet again in the building at 90 Mount Vernon Street in Richfield Park. But we are preparing ourselves for that eventual time. And there is a really, really great team from our church led by Chris Lee who are putting things together and lining things together so that we can plan very carefully and in a very wise way moving toward the direction of having that happen. And so I want to encourage you to pray for Chris and for that team of people who are planning that day, so that we will do things in a God-pleasing way and for the best way for all of the people in our church. But I at the same time, I felt it was important that we look toward that time and begin now to prepare ourselves spiritually for the reopening. And so I've chosen three scriptures today that I hope will engage us and move us in that direction in our church to prepare ourselves for the reopening when we come back to church. And I think that you'll know what I'm talking about once we start to look at these scriptures. And I really want these scriptures to be the means by which we are spiritually preparing ourselves. It's only through the words of God that we can do that, because He is Spirit and He is the one who cares most for us and wants us to be well spiritually in our lives, as well as having the chance to come together in a physical way in the church building. We look at this first scripture, it comes from Exodus, and then all the way in the New Testament from 1 John, written by John. And we're talking in this scripture about idol worship. Now, idol worship has been a problem for mankind for as long as we have existed. And it continues up until today. And I believe that this is where we need to start to be able to spiritually prepare ourselves, to be able to come to a place where we understand how dangerous it can become, right? When we go through these times and when we are at any time, for that matter, to be lured into idol worship. We're talking about that verse in Revelation for the children and how Satan comes to the door and Jesus answers the door. And that's exactly what we want to do when we are faced with these times where we're lured into the temptation of idol worship. The beginning of this chapter 32 in Exodus is really one of the saddest moments in all of the history of mankind. And it shows us in a very real way how quickly men and women can fall into disgrace. And these are people of God who have just a few chapters before been given the Ten Commandments through Moses. And the first commandment talks exactly about the danger of idol worship. And God, in fact, says, you shall have nothing to do with them. So let me read you verse 3 and 4 in chapter 20, where God spoke the words and gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. First, it says in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Pretty clear. You shall have no other gods before me. Then in verse 4, it says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Let me go on. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. One of the ways that we grow as Christians in our faith and as we grow in the our daily lives and become spiritually prepared is by reading devotions. Now, one of the things that Lee Chan and I have done since this whole virus has come into our lives and changed everything really drastically in a very short time is to return to reading devotions together. And I want to encourage you to do that. Get into the Word by yourself. Get into a closet somewhere. Get into a space where you can begin each day and get into the Word of God. And you will be helped immensely by the Word of God and then also by those who have prepared devotions for us to be able to teach us things. And one of the ones that we have been reading recently spoke on this subject and was referring to the time in Exodus 32. And this is what was written in the devotion. They were talking about the word Elohim. Elohim is the word for God that is used here in Exodus 32. It's a Hebrew word for God, but it can also be the gods in plural. And so we believe in the one true God, but the small e in the Elohim would be referring to gods in the plural with a small g. And these are the idols that we fall into worshiping. So he said the following about that. The same Elohim that they ended up with at Mount Sinai, the gods, but in different guises, the gods of money and pleasure, the Elohim of success, possessions, comfort, vanity, and self. There's no end to the Elohim. And as it is for an individual, so for peoples and nations and civilizations. Any civilization that turns away from the Elohim of God will end up serving the Elohim of the gods. And so these things that he has listed here are just a few of the things that come up as a temptation to us. And we need to be very, very aware of the fact that this can happen in a very subtle way in our lives, that we begin to worship idols instead of the one true God. The list again is gods of money and pleasure, right? The Elohim, the gods of success and possessions, comfort and vanity and self. And brothers and sisters, I need to let you know that I truly believe that these gods are vividly shown and being displayed and also followed in Bergen County in New Jersey. As a pastor, one of the things that you look for in people is to see, you know, where is the emphasis in life? And there is a very distinct emphasis on those gods instead of the one God in our lives. And it shows up in the attendance to Bible study and to prayer time. It shows up in the infrequency of attending worship. right? It's a great thing that we are doing Zoom, and it's a wonderful thing that we have this accessibility. And I'm really, really encouraged to hear from other OCM churches that people have actually increased in their time to come together and to join in prayer and to have a Bible study and to be able to, you know, have this opportunity to do that. But I wonder what is going to happen when that goes away. And so what needs to be done here at this time is for us to spiritually prepare ourselves for the lure of the return to the God, the idol worship that we were in before this occurred. Right? Even in the midst of all these times, and even with the accessibility for Zoom and all these different means that we have, we need to really look deeply into our hearts and say, God, you are here now with us, and I really love being with you, and I love being with people. And this is really great because I am able to access it in this way. But we want to ask ourselves, what is going to happen when we re-enter a building and meet there? Are we going to show the same kind of an interest and a devotion to God when that comes? And so the first part of spiritual preparation is to do an evaluation of the gods in our lives. What are the things that would keep a person from joining in a worship service at a church in a building? Right? What are things that get in our way? The busyness in our lives, certainly. The emphasis of the world and saying that you can go to church and you can go there, but if you have something else to do, you can do that first. Right? There's a change of heart that has to happen, and the preparedness in our spiritual lives has to begin there. Right? And it's something that this time that we're in is pointing out to us. Where is our emphasis? Where is our mind on God? Is he foremost there for us? Right? The memory verse in your bulletin today comes at a prime time too. It's the, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So hold on to that verse and do some meditation on that during this time where we are forced to give up a lot of different things in our lives and focus in on that. That is what God wants for us to do. So take this to heart. John, in the time of the New Testament, so many years after Moses spoke those words and told what had happened at the time when he was getting the Ten Commandments from God, and what do the people do? They make a calf out of gold, and they say, these are our gods now. An amazing sin occurring in their lives. And why? Because Moses was gone for 40 days. He was gone for 40 days, and they deteriorated into that. And John, so many years later, ends his letter in the first letter of John. He ends that letter by saying those simple words, little children, stay away from idols. And everyone, you know what God is saying that for? You know why John is saying that for God in those words? Because he loves us. Without God in our lives, we are dead. We cannot live. We cannot go on. And so that word from him is so striking to say that do not follow idols. You will be leading yourself into danger. You will be leading yourself away from the God who has given you life and that desires to give you life most. And it's not just a commandment so that you will do it. It's because God loves us and he knows that he is the only way for us to live. And so the first message comes through in this. When Moses was, when he came down from the mountain and he saw the people, he was furious with them. You'll know that you remember that he threw down the Ten Commandments, the two blocks of stone on which the Ten Commandments were written, and he threw them down in anger and broke them. But he also told the people there that they were going to give him that golden calf. And it says in verse 20 in chapter 32, he took the calf that had been made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. An amazing verse. But that's exactly what God is telling us we need to do with idols. Do you understand? Can you see how meaningless they are and how powerless they are? It's all in the hearts and the minds of people. You take that idol that you may be worshiping in your life. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's something else. It could be your job. It could be sex, right? You could be addicted to pornography. You could be addicted to alcohol or some other thing in your life. It could be also other types of things that are more subtle, right? Thinking of yourself more importantly than your wife, not loving your wife. There's a verse in the Bible that says that don't hinder your prayers by not loving your wife. Right? The prayers are tied in with the way that we treat one another. And we as men need to understand during this time, perhaps God is teaching us, you have made an idol of yourself by thinking that you don't need to love your wife. Those are amazing things to think about during this time. But God is saying that has to change, right? That has to change. And so we want to do what Moses did. Take those idols and burn them up and destroy them and get rid of them as soon as possible. And you know what happens a lot of times when people have done that? They say that a sense of relief has occurred and come into their heart, and whatever had a grip on them is gone, and they feel that they're set free. A lot of times we're not aware of it, but these times that we're living in now can point that out, that we have an idol that we need to take care of. Which one is it for you? Give it to God and let him take it from you. I want to go to another scripture. And the second one, I think we have a PowerPoint for. It's going to be from Revelation chapter 3, where we were reading today with the children. Let me just read this to you. Revelation 3, 15 to 21. Jesus, the words of God came to the people of Laodicea, right? It says in verse 14, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. And then it says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. These are words of Jesus Christ to the church. A lot of times we get confused and think that they're just coming to someone who's going to come into belief, and it certainly can have that implication. But Jesus was speaking to the church itself and saying, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice, has the church heard my voice? And Jesus, again, comes in love to teach us these lessons. And so the second scripture and the second lesson for preparation spiritually for the reopening comes in this way from Jesus. There are three things that we need to do, that we need to meditate on and look at in this scripture that Jesus teaches to us. Now, we're living at a time where taking your temperature has a whole new meaning, right? If you're going to enter into a building, or some of you have already experienced it in going to work, and they take your temperature to see if you have a fever. Well, we need to take a temperature for ourselves during these times spiritually as we prepare to reopen. Okay? And Jesus says, you are neither cold nor hot. And then he says, I wish that you were cold or hot. But the fact of the matter is, the people at this church that he's speaking to was saying they're lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. And he would prefer that they would just admit that they have no faith at all and no allegiance to him and be cold than to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, but you know what? God can have my time as I have it. And when it's convenient for me. And I know I heard the sermon, but you know, I have other things to do with my life first before I get to that. And I've talked to people, you know, in life that have told me that. I worked with a person one time when I shared the gospel, and they said, later, I have a long life, I can get to God. You know, I can start to think about my life in that way after I've lived a long time. But that was the exact opposite of what God wants from us. He wants our time now because he deserves it, and everything else should follow that. These three things, right, these three parts here of being cold, hot, or lukewarm are what we want to examine here. Jesus says, I will spit you out of my mouth. He's not mincing any words here. He doesn't accept people that are just living their lives as they want and feeling like, okay, God is a convenience for me. I know I was baptized. I know that I made a commitment like that. I invited all my friends and my family. I gave a talk at my baptism. I professed proclaiming Christ. But then after that, they go back to the way that they lived before. And when it comes time and an announcement is made for worship or for doing something in the community for the sake of others, through the church or attending a Bible study, getting deep into the word, they drift away and they say, I have another life and I prefer that one. And so that is the picture of lukewarmness. And we want to be sure that when we reopen, that we are not going to have that happen. And it begins now in our hearts. Right? And so God is asking us to do this. First, examine to see if we have any idols that are existing in our lives, right? And to get rid of them completely. And then we examine our hearts and say, where does God really fit into my life? Is he central? Is Jesus the most important thing to me? Or am I like the lukewarm in this church that Jesus is addressing and saying, I'm just going to make this a convenience for myself? He'll spit us out of his mouth. Right? It's as though you don't have a faith at all. Right? And so we want to look at those at this as well. Take our temperature and see where we stand. When we look through the rest of these verses here, it's so important. He says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Right? And so we're under this impression when we get puffed up in an idol like wealth or prosperity or being good at school or whatever it is that you want to mention. We get so filled up with ourselves and thinking that we're good, when in actually we're not good. I remember spending time with prisoners in a prison in South Jersey, and these guys all told me the same kind of a thing. When you think you're good, you're not good, right? And they told me that. They got into trouble time and time again because they left the prison where they were being fed with the Bible, and they went back into society, and their friends would meet them when they got out, and they'd say, hey, let's go party. You're out of prison. And they would go right back into the life that was away from God. And you don't have to be a prisoner to do that kind of a thing. We do it all the time. Hey, I got an opportunity to go out and to party. I got an opportunity to do this or that, right? And God is saying, no, that's not what it's about, right? You need to be taking this time and look at, well, who I am and really seeing that when you think that way, you are not well off, and you, it's not that you lack nothing, it's that you're blind and naked and pitiable and wretched and poor. That's not what we want to be seen as, right? And so Jesus says this, I give you this counsel. This is what you need to do, to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. He says, you've got to come to me for the things that are going to be pure and everlasting. And that is where we want to be when we are living our lives now. Taking our temperature, are we lukewarm? Are we hot or are we cold? Where do we stand before God? We want to be long to those who are hot in our faith, feverish with the desire to serve God more than anything else and see that he is the only way. And brothers and sisters, these times have shown us, right, that we are helpless, right? We're in a situation now where we can't turn to our right or to our left. We're being told you can't go anywhere, right? And things are being shut down. And it's interesting, right? In our lives in Bergen County, and where there's so much prosperity, we can go out and we can throw off $100 for a meal, right? Even more than that, and maybe often. And then in the meantime, there are people that don't have anything to eat in the world, right? And so we get caught up in that. And then and what has shut down? The restaurants, the shopping centers where we go and buy all the things that we want to put on our backs, right? In abundance. And all those things are no longer available to us. And so what we need to do is to think about what that means. Is it coincidence that those things are no longer available to us? Or is it Jesus Christ coming to us in love and saying, look at the way that you're living. Look at the way you're living. Those things have become idols to you. And you've also become lukewarm. You are seeing those other things as more important than me. And you need to rethink what you're doing, because it's going to lead you to danger, right? It's going to lead you to death. And so we need to pay attention to what Jesus says. And what does he say there? We need to listen to verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. And so he loves us and tells us to do these things. What are we to do after that? Be zealous and repent. And so we need to repent of those attitudes. We need to repent of the idols, the things that are in our lives that are keeping us away from God. Okay? And then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father in his throne. And so this is our reward, right? It goes beyond this life. It goes beyond this momentary time. Why would we want to be caught in this kind of a situation where the material things that we have that have no lasting value become our all in all? Why would we want to do that? Jesus is saying, think about it. And then be zealous and repent of those things. And then come to me, answer the door when I'm knocking on it, and let me in, and I will eat with you, and we will eat together of the food that is eternal, and we will live together. You will live beside me, right, forever, as my prized child. And those are the things that are of great value. And those are the things that we want to desire in our spiritual preparation. Ask God to come into your life. Ask Jesus to come. He's knocking on the door. Let him come in, and we will have that eternal life. There's one verse that I want to read to you, a couple of verses in James that are very telling as well, that I think that can help us as we are preparing spiritually. It says in chapter 4, verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So we like to think in our lives, and I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about. I have been this kind of a person where I feel like I know the truth. I know what people are telling me. I know I have a Bible. I know I have Christian friends. I know I go to a church. I even sing in the choir. I'm praising God and things like that. But when it comes to the things that lure me away and temptations like that, you know, I would say, okay, I'll go and do it. You know, I'm just gonna go and I'm just gonna forget about all the things that I was doing and believing and professing and praising God for. But I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna follow off with my friends who said, well, let's go off and have a good time, you know, and waste our times. And you know, I really feel that my attitude was exactly like this. I'm just gonna go off and I'm gonna do what I want. Right? It doesn't matter. I've gotten away with it so far. Right? I've been able to do what I want and nothing has stopped me. But now listen to the times that we're in now. Can I still say the same thing? Not really. I can't just go wherever I want. I can't just do whatever I want. I can't boast and say, oh, I have such great power. I have money. Money isn't important anymore. Right? It's become this situation that has brought us into this place, and God is speaking to us and saying to us, I've written this in my word. It's been there all the time, and now I want you to live it. And so a Christian, when they see these kind of things happening like that, wake up and say, this is the time that all that training that we have been getting in church is going for us to shine, right? To be able to repent, to be able to come back to God and say, now I understand that I'm really not in control, even when I think I'm in control. God is the only one in control. And so I can't live my life the same anymore. I need to be spiritually prepared for each day and give my life to God so that he can say, this is what I want you to do. And you say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? No? Okay, I won't do that because you're the Lord and I'm not. And you're the master of my life and I'm not. So lead me where you want me to go. There's one last scripture I want to take a look at today. As we spiritually prepare ourselves for the reopening, and it's in the verses of chapter 25 of Matthew. Matthew 25, 42 to 46, it says, Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I believe that these verses of Jesus are good ones for us to also keep in hand as we spiritually prepare ourselves for the reopening. It's very direct instructions of what we are to do. Jesus does that all through his life, and all through the scripture, we receive the instructions on what we are to do. You know, we're taking our temperature, and we find out what the symptoms are of the lukewarmness or whatever it is that we find there, and then there has to be a solution for that. And Jesus said in Revelation that he was the one who is going to come as the solution to that. But he also tells us practical ways for us to show that we have gotten the point and that we are truly spiritually prepared for life. And it comes in this way. We are to take care of those who are hungry in the world. We are to take, we can just write these things down and look for ways, God, to come into our lives now and take us away from ourselves and away from our own idols and our own self and say, the hungry need to be fed. And there's all kinds of situations around us now where we see that people are not having enough. And God is saying, you are my disciples. You are the ones to help them. Thirsty, hungry or thirsty, people without enough to eat. And so this is one area where we can be spending our time spiritually preparing for the reopening. What are we going to do for people who are in need now? Right? A stranger. We have aliens, people that are here illegally. We have different people from different countries who come into this country all the time. We have international students. We have people who are ministering to the international students. It's time for us, when we hear the call, to go and to support the people who are helping those around us, that we don't say it's someone else's job or I have something else to do. It is time for us as a church that is spiritually prepared and doing the things of God to say, I will do that, and even if it means that I'm at a loss. And there's so many times that we say, no, I'm not going to do something because our lukewarmness is taking over our lives. God says, do this. And so the church says, we do it. And we do it right away. In fact, we fight to be the first to do it. That is the way that we show that we're hot for God, by wanting to do things for people and not thinking of all the problems for other people who could do it instead. Right? The people who are in need, the strangers, the foreigners, the naked, people who don't have clothing, right? People who don't have, there are people that exist in the world that don't have those things. And yet we in Bergen County, in our society that we live in now, have closets filled with clothes that we only wear once. You know, I mean, I'm also in that boat. We buy things, but God is saying, I'm not against you having things, but what I'm against is the fact that you're not helping those that have nothing. And so answer the door. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Let me in and show them that you believe in me. Don't be lukewarm. Don't have to do with idols. Idols are going to lead you to destruction. Follow me and I will show you what to do. Right? Prisoners. Prisoners are to be visited. Do you know that in Patterson there's a state prison and it's in bad shape, right? There's a lack of people that are going in there, and because they get so frustrated with the officials there and how hard it is to break through and to bring the gospel and to help people. There's one there. There's also the Bergen County Jail that is right across the river from us, maybe 10 minutes away, and it has barbed wire all around it. But there are people in there who are ministering to other people, and they use volunteers, right? And so there are prisoners right at our doorstep that we as children of God are to take care of. And so Jesus is saying that would be a ministry for you to look into, right? The sick. And now we come to the place where we're talking about something that is more and more prevalent in this time. The people who have the coronavirus, the people who are getting sick, right? One of the best ways for us to be able to attend to their needs is to pray together. Where are we going to do, when are we going to get the idea that that is where we need to be spending our time, right? Are we showing God now that we are spiritually prepared to reopen? Are we going to go back into the reopening in the way that we are, in not responding to the needs in the world, right? We have to take this on. It's not a maybe or a choice. It is a command that we are to do these things. And Jesus said, I will not know you, right? You can have the greatest faith to move mountains, but if you don't help these people who are in need, I don't know you. And so what is it going to take for us to get that into our minds in the way that it's going to really make a difference? We need to pray and repent, be zealous and repent of those things and say, Lord, I know, I understand that now. I want to do things for you. And then God will show us what to do. You see all the hope that is filling all these pages here? You know, that Jesus says, you can have heaven. You can have a seat with me, right? You can have gold, and you can have garments that will never fade away, that will never be able to be ground into powder and be drunk by people on earth. These are lasting things. And so Jesus is saying, that's what I want for you, and I love you, and I care about you, and I know that your life is only going to be worth something in me. So I want you to start thinking about this. That's what Jesus is saying. I want you to use this time to understand that you can't just go out and do whatever you want, because there's a price to pay. You have been saved by a price of my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. Right? What does that translate into in our lives? Are we going to completely just say, you know, that sounds nice, but of course not. We want to be moved in our hearts by this. So let God's Spirit speak to you. Let God's Spirit come into you today. Do away with the idols. Recognize them, right? To be spiritually prepared for the reopening of our church. Be spiritually prepared by doing away with idols in your life. If it's a computer, or it's time in the computer, or it's other things in your life, get rid of them and give your life to God. Take your temperature. Take your temperature to see where you are. When you get a call or when you get an invitation to join someone to read the Bible, what is your reaction? Is it cold? Is it lukewarm? Or is it hot? Right? Where does God stand in your life? Right? What is going on there? And then the third thing, look at the practicalities of the way God expects us to live our lives and see how can we work together as a church? How can we work and put our body parts together for the kingdom of God and do the things that Jesus wants us to do? Then we will be in a good position of saying, Lord, open the doors up again. We are going to meet again because we're not just going to come on that day, but we are going to be already involved in your kingdom and the kingdom work way before that even started. Amen. I want you to listen to a very special song. It's a prayer. And I don't know what you remember the, oh, it's by Karen Lafferty. And she's a woman who actually wrote a very, very famous melody based on Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God that we always sing. But she's written a very beautiful prayer, and I believe it has a message in it for us today. If you are cold towards God, then I pray that this song will help you to let go of your coldness and that the warmth of Christ come in. And for those of us who are lukewarm in our faith and we're not really ready to continue on in the work, in the Lord's work, because we're just feeling disengaged somehow, let this song revive us. And for those of us who are really involved in the work of God, for those who are hot for God, then let us relish in the words here and share the gospel with other people. Let people know that we believe in Jesus and he is the only way that we can follow. Let's listen to this responsive song together.